The Mace Vingan and Donick 102.5, The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Bingan, and David Janes here with you. The Tennessee Titans back in action on Sunday at Nissan Stadium against the Seattle Seahawks. I haven't looked at the line on that game. Seattle minus 13.5. Another nearly 2-touchdown spread as the Titans take on the Seahawks, who are coming off of a tough loss last week. Sam Darnold threw 4 interceptions. And we'll get to Sam Darnold at some point in this hour. But I want to start with the quarterback on the local professional football team, that being Cam Ward. And look, Cam Ward's season, it's been disappointing. But we try to keep it in proper context. Not to disregard the struggles he's had, but I saw a new one this week from Paul Kaharsky of paulkaharsky.com. The headline of his story, which I can't get up. Oh, there we go. How the NFL's hardest schedule is sinking the Titans and shaping Cam Ward. Paul writes that Titans opponents have a league-high winning percentage of 569, which is slightly better than number 2 Houston. New England is at the opposite end, with opponents at 368. Derek, you actually did bring this up to me last week, talking about the Titans' strength of schedule. And I've seen some numbers floating around trying to put this all into context. Here's what I did just for kicks and giggles. I looked at the opposing defenses that the Titans have faced this season by passing EPA per played allowed. The Titans have played Houston twice. They're first in that category. They've played the Denver Broncos. They're second in that category. They've played the Los Angeles Rams. They're third in that category. They've played the LA Chargers. They're sixth in that category. They've played the Patriots, 12th in that category. And they've played the Colts twice, 13th in that category. The Cardinals, 22nd. The Raiders, 24th. So before anybody texts us, 615-737-1025, and say, "You're making excuses for Cam Ward." Again, we're just trying to put all of this into context. So,
is very legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter if you want to be that guy texting. I challenge you, because I'm going to come back with you with the strength of schedule doesn't matter.
Let me ask you that question then: how much should the Titans' strength of schedule influence our opinion of Cam Ward's performance so far?
Significant. That is a significant factor. And what did you say the New England Patriots' strength of schedule was?
Well, it's not strength of schedule. Well, like Paul Kaharsky, Titans opponents have a league-high winning percentage of 569.
Right, and the Patriots is?
368.
That's a pretty wide gap.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's one way of looking at strength of
and
schedule.
And that does not there are mean other ways to say to that, it. Yeah, the Titans, if they swept schedules.
Schedule.
Right, it's you have to give. You can only play the schedule that you have. But there's a reason that in the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee for basketball, the term SOS gets thrown in there a lot. Your strength of schedule does matter, and it matters a lot. College football finally is getting out of the dark ages and supposedly considering this as well. So I think that should be taken in context. It doesn't mean, hey, everything's going to be all right. But you're grading on a curve a little bit.
Yeah, you got to look at, you know, because every situation isn't the same. As much as we want them to be, you can't look at, you know, people are saying, well, they should have drafted Jackson Dart. Well, you can't look at Jackson Dart situation and say, well, he would have fared better if he was here. And probably couldn't say that about Cam and say he would have fared better with the Giants. Both teams have a combined 3 wins, so both teams are bad. And yes, one team is showing a little bit, you know, life, I would say, as far as scoring points, but both teams fired their coach during the season. So in my eyes, both teams are in the same boat when it comes to being a bad team. But you look at, you know, the Titans in the beginning of their schedule. And we talked about this at the beginning of the year. Like, look at the teams that they're going to play. And it was so much so that I think we had a debate on, should you even play Cam the first two or three games of the season because
right. they played
of,
at Denver exactly. and home against the Rams.
Absolutely. So you're playing against this
two of the best defenses
exactly,
in the
league, especially games one and two. You know, and at the time I thought, well, maybe that may help the Titans because they don't have much on Cam, and obviously this is a good defense. Now, the game was close, closer than what I thought it was going to be, and the Titans had their moments, but ultimately the better team ended up winning. But I say all of that to say this. Listen, Cam's not doing well. He needs to get better. But it's not just black and white. It's not just, oh, Cam needs to get better, or he's not having – no, you have to – And maybe people do understand it, but it's like, no, that's not what I want to talk. I want to talk about just this and him getting better because ultimately that's what, you know, when people are going to stop arguing when he starts getting better. That's what happens. Even if the team's not winning, if they see Cam's getting better, then the spotlight can go off of him and start to shine on somebody else or just the team in general. But you look at him coming in as a rookie and the teams that he had to play in regards to their defense, top defense, whether it's the Broncos, the Rams, obviously we know the Colts are good now. The Texans had a good defense.
The best defense.
The best defense, yeah. You're talking about a good Patriots defense. Colts over again, the Chargers, the Texans again.
The Seahawks, so, by the way.
The Seahawks up this season.
14th in passing EPA per play allowed.
So you're talking about a bad team with a bad roster with a young quarterback. And the guys that he's depending on are all young first year, really first or second year guys. And they're learning things just like him. So, yes, he needs to get better. But also, I got to look at, you know, what, you know, who they're playing, where they're, you know, where that other team is at. I know where the Titans are at. They're not a good team. But I'm not going to look at Cam and then look at Jackson Dart or some other rookie quarterback and say, oh, he needs to be doing what they're doing. No, he's not in a position that they're in. He's not playing. He didn't have. They didn't have to start off playing the top two defenses in the National Football League. And out of the four weeks in a row, they played top defenses or teams that are in the playoffs. Well, all these teams are either in a hunt for the playoffs or the playoffs. The Broncos, Rams, Colts, and the Texans right now. The only team that I think is on the outside looking in is the Texans. Probably every other team that I mentioned are in the playoffs if it was to stop now. So you got to look at all of that and, you know, make your determination based on all of the information, not just, oh, he needs to get better and they're not winning. He's playing some pretty damn teams, pretty damn good defenses. But even in that, yes, he does need to show that he's developing.
Paul Kaharsky writes in his story, quote, in a best case scenario, Ward will ultimately benefit from having run such a gauntlet at the start of his career. A schedule like this has broken quarterbacks before, physically and mentally. Ward is on pace for 70 sacks, yet he hasn't appeared on an injury report all season. His mindset has held up too. He stays steady and confident, never showing outward frustration despite the constant pounding.
I think that's one of the better things you can say because the numbers are ugly. There's no way around the numbers. We've made this point, it's sort of the shocking point, is if you put the numbers up alongside of Will Levis's numbers, they really aren't very different at all. So you're saying, well, this guy's the first pick in the draft, this is supposed to be the guy. But I think when you watch it week in and week out, you understand the context of this. And the way he handles it compared to the way Levis handled it, I think there's more hope for Cam Ward along those lines, even though there's still major question marks.
And here's something else I think fans, it's just a little glimmer. And listen, I know it's dark, but any glimmer of light, you know, helps you see the path that you need to be on, and hopefully you can see it in the Titans. Just think this year. They drafted Cam, Oladejo, Kevin Winston, Chim Dike, Gunnar Helm, and Alec Iomanner. All six of those guys are in the roster or have been in the roster. I mean, have been playing, are playing, or are starters already. Cam Ward's a starter. Oladejo was playing a lot of minutes.
Not super well,
but they was getting him into it. He was contributing.
Yeah.
Kevin Winston's contributing now. Chim Dike, Gunnar Helm, Alec Iomanner. So that's a good thing. that these guys are playing, and that they're showing that they're developing. Now, Odadejo is injured, and he was slow to come on, but I think all of these players have shown that they can have a role on this team moving forward, and that is a good thing. And then you date back to last year, and those guys, too, they're starting to build sort of this base for themselves. And if they can get another draft where these guys started contributing right away, too, this could end up being something good for the Titans moving forward.
Jeff on our text line says, strength of defense matters and should be considered, and I'm being patient before judging. But does that give him bad footwork, make him drop his arm and throw sidearm, miss wide open receivers when he has a good pocket, drift into pressure when he doesn't need to, or drop the ball when no one touches him? He's got a lot of work to do to be even an average quarterback. I'm giving him that chance, but I disagree with Willie that EPA numbers of the defenses he's played is significant.
Okay.
Willie, do you want to respond to that?
But I got to understand too, like, do they really know what all of this mean? And if it, you know, when people start throwing out there, oh, he drops his elbow. Are you just listening to people when they say this? Oh, he may have dropped. And then you see, well, he did that on the same pass that he completed too. So it was bad when he missed the guy, but the 10 passes that he made and he still did the same thing, it wasn't bad then. I don't get, like, when people, oh, he dropped his elbow. Footwork. Like, okay, these are all the things, minus the dropping the elbow. Listen, I know it's a big thing, but, people, put that to the side. But these are the things that we talked about. Rookie quarterbacks, period. Footwork. All rookie quarterbacks have to get their footwork right. Even the ones that turned out to be great, they had to get their footwork right. They're going to miss passes. These are things that, throughout the season, you start developing. Doesn't mean that, oh, if you don't do it, you know, if you're able to go two or three games without doing it, and all of a sudden you do it on the fourth game, that doesn't mean that, oh, he hasn't learned. It just means that, hey, it's still a work in progress. It's not that every once in a while I may drop that elbow every once in a while. Even the greatest of the quarterbacks drop their elbow. I may throw off platform every once in a while, but I'm getting more used to not doing that. So when now all of a sudden, anytime that Cam misses a pass, people go, oh, he dropped his elbow. Oh, it was bad foot. Quarterbacks miss passes even when their footwork is perfect. They miss pass even when their elbow isn't dropped. That's what I want people to start understanding. Like, don't just think that all of a sudden, because it's an incompletion, that, oh, his footwork wasn't right. He just missed the pass. That's all he did. It didn't get to the, and even sometimes when it gets to the receiver, he may have dropped his elbow or the footwork may have been bad. But when you hit a receiver, nobody talks about that. So that's the part that kind of, when people say all that stuff, it's like, okay, are you really just regurgitating things that you've heard? Or are these things that you're seeing when he's completing passes and when he's not? These are the things that I watch.
I think mechanics and footwork are legitimate things that these guys develop.
I know, but those are things like, you know, rookies have to get better at. All rookies.
Sure, no doubt. And hopefully with time, the game will slow down. The mechanics will get better. That's what you have to hope for. But let's be. I am standing by 100% that the difficulty of the defenses is significant. That's a significant stat. And I'm really curious along those lines about how do his stats look when they play the Saints and the Browns. Those are the two weak teams. They haven't really played a weak sister team all year. I mean, Arizona's the closest thing, and they actually
The Raiders, too.
The
Raiders, too. But again, by expected points added, passing EPA per play allowed, that's a mouthful, passing EPA per play allowed, the Titans have played the number one team twice, the number two team, the number three team, the number six team, the number 12 team, the number 13 team twice, and they're about to play the 14th team in that category. Let's go to Frank on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Frank, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to call in, and I think Cam's still developing. I mean, we all see that. But put some people around him that can catch the ball. For crying out loud, how many passes have he dropped or not go up and catch? If it's in the same zip code, these guys should be going up. catching them. I don't care if they're a first year or a fifth year receiver. They, if they know their routes and they put him in, him putting it in the zip code, those guys should go up and catch them. I'm sorry, but he's still developing. Everybody knows it, and I think he's the least of our problems for the Titans. We need an O-line. Like you said earlier, he's on pace to go 70 sacks or so this and we've got to keep him upright. We've got to let him develop. We got to, before anybody casts any aspersions on him, he's the least of the problems. It's these other guys that have to step up and catch the ball and help him out.
Thank you for the call, Frank.
And I don't want the last texter that talked about his footwork in his elbow to seem like if that was wrong what he said.
Oh, by the way, he's responding.
Yeah, those things, those things are things that he needs to get better at. But I don't want everyone to make it seem like, oh, anytime that he misses a pass or anytime that he can't get, oh, it's because of his footwork or it's because of him dropping the elbow. Sometimes you just miss a guy. And even sometimes when you hit a guy, you go back and look, it's like, man, my footwork wasn't right, but you got it. But nobody zero in on when a pass is completed. They only talk about when the pass is grossly incomplete, if it's over somebody. And I've always said Cam needs to get better at these certain routes. I think it's his deep corner routes. He needs to get better at on both sides. And that slant route from his right to his left, he needs to throw that thing like he can be able to throw it in his sleep. He needs to throw that so much. So, and to me, those are the two areas he needs to really work at. And that does go along with your footwork and everything else. But I don't want to make it seem like every time he doesn't complete a pass, it's because of the footwork or the elbow dropping.
615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your thoughts on Cam Ward. The question we're discussing, how much should the Titans' strength of schedule influence our opinion of Cam Ward's performance so far? 615-737-1025. We'll get into that coming up next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, we are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service.
I mean, Sam's been balling. Like, if we want to try to define Sam by this game, or what, man, Sam's been had us in every game. So for him to sit there and say, oh, that's my fault. No, it's not. It was plays that defensively we could have made plays. There were opportunities where we could have got better stops. Yeah, I mean, like, it's football, man. And he's our quarterback. We got his back. And you got anything to say, quite frankly, you.
That was Ernest Jones. Remember Ernest Jones when he was on the Titans briefly? If you missed that last part, quote, he's our quarterback, talking about Sam Darnold. We've got his back, and if you've got anything to say, quite frankly, F you. We'll see how Sam Darnold bounces back after a 4-interception performance last week. Darnold has 14 turnovers in 10 games, tied with Tua for most in the NFL. But we're talking Cam Ward. We're talking about the Titans' strength of schedule and how much, if at all, that should influence our opinion of his performance so far this season. Ron on our text line says, so do you want to see improvement from Cam but still lose to keep draft position? Yes, Ron. Mm-hmm. I want at least one win showing improvement, not only with the quarterback but the team in general each week. Yes. The best case scenario is that the Titans continue to lose but Cam Ward looks solid in defeat. You do not want to risk your draft position. So, yes, Ron, I would like to see improvement from Cam, but still lose to keep draft position. One texter says, people are wary of Cam Ward because he was a very inconsistent college player and because the Titans picks haven't been good in the last many years. Also, I heard you guys saying similar things about Levis and Malik Willis. I've already forgotten his name. It's Malik Willis. I added that in there. I keep hearing you can't judge them yet, and yet they still had a chance of being good quarterbacks.
I didn't know, remind me of this, but I didn't think Cam was inconsistent in college. Nowhere, I don't think.
I'm going to be honest with you. Missing something? I didn't watch a ton of Miami last season.
But even what I watched, it didn't seem like he was inconsistent. But again, I mean, I understand that in today's NFL, people want to see it now. And, frankly, hey, listen, I get it. I want to see it now, too. I want to be, you know, like the Washington Commanders and Jaden Daniels and him exploding. I want to be like the Houston Texans with C.J. Stroud or, you know, Denver with Bo Nix. I wish our team would have started off like that or even, you know, second year Drake May. But that's not where we're at as a organization. That's not where this organization is at. That's not where this quarterback is at. That's not where this team is at. I just hope to see gradual progression by this quarterback because I know that you can't truly evaluate this quarterback. Why? Because of what's around him. And listen, what's around him is either very young and inexperienced, or they're hurt, or they're just not performing at that level that we all thought they were going to perform at. So then we asked the rookie quarterback to come in and have a rookie shine and rookie of the year type of season. It didn't happen. It's not going to happen that way. It didn't happen with the quarterbacks last year outside of Jaden Daniels and Bo Nix. And if you look at really Bo Nix's team, it was pretty much his defense. This defense, he made plays when he needed to, and they put together things when they needed to. But that defense is what really kept them. And the Titans haven't had that luxury of having a top-tier defense. And then the veteran guys who are supposed to uphold their end of the bargain, they are doing just that. They're not doing that. So now we put it all on the rookie quarterback. And, yes, he needs to get better. But I'm not going to sit here and say, well, you know, they need to go to another quarterback. He ain't the guy. After a half a season, and in that half a season, guys have been in and out of the lineup, and this roster is just frankly not good.
So Nick Suss of the Tennessean earlier this week had a report. How close did the Titans really come to signing Sam Darnold last offseason? Here's the meat of the report, as reported by Nick Suss of the Tennessean. Quote, as sources told the Tennessean, Titans coaches were interested in evaluating the veteran quarterbacks who could come available. Not just Darnold, who could have returned to Minnesota via franchise tag or contract extension, but also former New Orleans and Oakland quarterback Derek Carr, who retired rather than facing the market. The front office never loved the idea. Even if signing Darnold meant trading the number one pick in exchange for a massive haul of draft picks, there wasn't belief the roster would be strong enough to seriously contend within the first two cheaper years of Darnold's contract. The strategy of signing a win-now quarterback to a roster that wouldn't be ready to compete felt tantamount to signing up for roughly 7 wins a year and wading back into the quarterback market in 2 or 3 years.
I think that's a fair assessment. Do you guys agree generally if they had gone for Sam Darnold, it would not have been enough to be worth it, right? Because to sign Sam Darnold, you would have needed to
give up picks.
Well, but win enough games, and the roster just isn't good enough to support.
Well, he was a free agent, so you wouldn't have had to give up.
No, if they wanted to franchise tag him, Minnesota.
Yeah.
If they wanted to franchise tag him.
And then trade for him.
And then you would have had to give up something.
Did Seattle give up something to do it? Or did
No, he just hit the market.
He just hit the market. They just decided that they weren't going
to. They traded Geno Smith and signed Sam Darnold.
So I think the argument is if you, and it was tricky because if you made the deal for Darnold, that would have been before the draft, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And Minnesota hadn't released him yet, had they?
I don't remember the timing of it, but you would then not need to draft Cam Ward. Maybe it would have been tougher to dangle the first pick. But in theory, if you could have a perfect scenario, you would have made the move for Darnold and then traded down from one and grabbed all the picks. But I still think in the short term, you'd have a high-paid quarterback
with a roster that's not
with a roster that's not ready to win.
The Titans went through this before, but on the reverse of it, they had a team ready to go, but didn't in their mind feel they had the quarterback that can facilitate that. So what did they do? They went out and traded for Tannehill. And Tannehill came in, and he was exactly what they wanted him to be. Now, they wanted us, you know, getting the Super Bowl. You know, I get that. But as far as the production that he had at that position, especially when he became a starter, I think it worked out for that team because you had a veteran quarterback that was good enough to take a team that was already the team that was poised to win. He was able to hold his own when he needed to, but unfortunately, you know, we all know what happened in the playoff game. But that was a situation where it was on the other end of the spectrum, where they had a team ready to go and they just needed that quarterback to help them.
How would we evaluate? Because I haven't watched a ton of the Seahawks, but Darnold has been pretty good, right? Fair to say?
Yeah, I think he's...
Outside of last week, he has been good. Yes.
What is it? Like 17 touchdowns, he has 10 interceptions?
Yeah, so he's up there in interceptions, but... Mm-hmm.
Completing 70% of his passes?
He's an MVP candidate.
70.2% of his passes. You know, as far as the look at some of the fancy stats, EPA, 7th. Pretty good. So, I mean, he's done what they hoped he would do. There's no question.
One texter says, let's see if I can find that. Where did it go? Now I lost it. There it is. The same texter texted in a couple of times after I read it initially. I'm worried Cam Ward will demonstrate the sunk cost fallacy. He was the overall number one pick, so we have to keep him and build around him, even if he doesn't produce well. But being the number one pick is irrelevant if he can't produce.
I mean, eventually, listen, you know, while they're building around him, eventually if they see he's not the guy, then I think they pivot in a way that they did with Marcus Mariota. You have a team, you're drafting, you're building that team, and if you figure, okay, he's just quite not what we need, then you pivot to a veteran guy with a team that's ready to go, and then that veteran guy can come in and just, you know, get underneath center and just seamlessly go. So, you know, I think the Titans are in a position right now, if they play their cards right, whether Cam works out or not, if they make the roster better, if they get this roster to be better and develop this roster, and you feel that Cam is still not the guy, I think then you will be in a position to pivot like you did when Vrabel got the job. You pivot to a guy like Ryan Tannehill, and then now you got the roster that's ready to win, and now you got a veteran quarterback that can help you win. Maybe they – so it's not this, man, if it doesn't work out, Cam, like, man, they're going to have to be in the market for – no. The big thing outside of Cam, I know Cam, but that's like a singular thing, but the big thing is to strengthen this roster. That's what you got to do.
I think we've told a lot of stories about mm-hmm. quarterbacks this week, a lot of different people in different spots along the spectrum. Mm-hmm. There's so many pitfalls, whichever way you decide to go. You have to say that for those like sitting in Minnesota saying, should they have done what they did and let Darnold walk? You got to be sitting there going, look what he's doing in Seattle. The Seahawks fans who, you know, they've been fairly mediocre the last few years with Geno Smith. The move for Darnold is an uptick. Got to get for now. Now, it's only 10 games in, right? There's still a lot of games. He could – remember, he faded last year at the end of last season. That influenced some things, I would say.
He has a reputation for not being able to perform when the lights are brightest. The Vikings lost that game against the Lions at the end of the regular season, which forced the Vikings to go on the road despite being 14-3. They had to play that game in Glendale, I believe, because of the fires in California. They mm-hmm. lost to the Rams. He was sacked I can't even remember how many times. And this game this past weekend, which was also against the Rams, if I'm not mistaken, that's a big game in the NFC West. And he threw 4 interceptions. So that is the wrap on Sam Darnold. He'll play well when it doesn't matter.
Do you think I just – because I'm thinking about this, like, you know, especially in a Titans situation – you know, they have their quarterback, and whether he works out or not. But you started to see the trend in professional footballs in the NFL, where these guys that have been cast off, now they're starting to find homes. And not to say that they're elite quarterbacks, but they're really good quarterbacks. We even talked about Mac Jones. He may be the next one.
He's
or
next
Daniel
one.
Jones end up being the next guy. Are we going to get to a place, and it may be good for teams like the Tennessee Titans, where because of these, you know, knee-jerk reactions or these owners or GMs don't have as much patience, where after about 2 years, just like coaches, they're ready to get rid of their quarterback. Maybe we're going to be in an era where the cast off end up being the quarterback that leads the team to where they want to go. Because we're starting to see it, whether it's Darnold, whether it's Baker Mayfield. We can name Daniel Jones. We can name other quarterbacks that have won other places that have played good football. So are we going to get into this era? Because we're always talking about the next guy, the next 5 or 10 guys that are coming up, or this draft. There ain't as many quarterbacks that are coming out that are worthy. Well, what if it's that these quarterbacks need more developing? So you draft them and you give them years to develop, but you still figure like, I don't want this guy. So you ship him off and he goes somewhere else. And what happens? He starts to become the player that you had envisioned him to be.
You're making my argument. Maybe they should keep Will Levis around.
Yeah, I did.
Should keep Will Levis just to see.
But see, there you go.
Just keep him around in the back pocket.
We got to go to break before Willie keeps talking about
this. Exactly. Before I give him more ammunition.
615-737-1025. We wrap up the week as we always do by taking it to the bank. We'll do that next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025 The Game. As we do to wrap up every week, let's take it to the bank, courtesy of our friends at F&M Bank, as you heard Willie just detail there. Less worry, more living, F&M Bank, banking made easy on purpose. You can visit one of their locations throughout Middle Tennessee and Southern Kentucky or online at myfmbank.com. Before we get to this week's picks, let's go to David Janes to recap last week's picks.
All right, gentlemen. So first off, let's go to the general questions. The first one was, will the Titans score over 13.5 points on Sunday against the Texans? Now, D. Mason Willie had the over. Me and Adam had the under. They hit 13, but the point system is 13.5.
Should have gone for two.
Hey, listen.
I'll take it.
Should have gone for the win right there.
Me and Adam got the point right there.
You guys were nuts.
Exactly. We have every credit to be upset or to be down on the Titans. So there you go.
Yes.
Now, the next one was, will Georgia cover 6.5 against Texas? Now, it wasn't a close one. Boys.
Blowout.
So it was a blowout. So Georgia got that. And D-Mason and Willie got points off that. Me and Adam did not.
So we're even.
Exactly.
We'll call it even.
But Adam, your picks were, you said the Ravens would cover 7.5. They only won by 7.
Should have gone for 2.
And Duke will not cover 5.5 against UVA. UVA crushed Duke.
Yeah, that was such a weird line. Duke was favored at home 5.5 against a ranked Virginia team, and the Cavaliers just whooped that ass. So
yeah, there you go.
I'll take it.
Adam, you got 4 points this week and a total of 49 points.
Okay, sounds good.
Now, Willie, your 2 picks were Mizzou -7 and Bama -6. I think you only got one of those.
1 out of 2.
Yep. So you only got 4
Bama,
points.
What the heck?
I know.
Yeah.
But you know what? I'm not mad about it. But you know, you got 4 points from this week and 68 total.
Yeah. I was just holding serve. Holding serve. Two up, two down. Not too bad.
Listen, you have a good lead against
us.
So
yes.
Let's relax a little bit. Now, D-Mace, you said Cam will have 2 touchdowns. He only got 1.
I know.
And Lamar would have 3 touchdowns. Lamar did not do that. Dang. So you got 1 point for total, 1 point this week and 40 total. So there you go. You got
not doing as poorly as Derek.
Exactly. Yeah, at least. No.
Derek, I mean, how would you characterize? You're leading the underdogs, but you're in last place in this.
Because my energy
is focused on Wednesdays?
On Wednesdays.
You need some of that Friday energy.
No. I got the Friday energy. What I'm saying is that's like, you know, Wednesday is national championship. Friday is conference championship.
Whoa! So we're only down to conference?
You were saying that last year when you won this.
Wow! Okay.
Hey, but listen. Okay. Silly underdogs has been around for a while.
31 years.
That's the national championship. That's what you – I mean, I want to win.
I can take 3 points away from you.
I want to
really
win
like
the conference championship, but it's all about national championships.
You're saying the take it to the bank is only on regional television.
Yes, but us. It's
on
us.
The FanDuel
right
Sports
exactly.
Network.
Exactly.
It's
absolutely.
Not on, it's not on ABC.
It's on tape delay.
It's an interconference thing.
By the way, speaking of silly underdog picks, Chris Sanders texted me earlier to tell you that you look like Forrest Whitaker.
Oh my goodness, Chris is just you can't say anything. Looking like Bo Diddley. But I'm not, that's I need.
Yeah, you really can't say anything when you look like Lil Bill.
That's true.
Now for my pick, oh man, no, these were bad. I said Lamar 4 touchdowns. I said Memphis would win, and I pressed, and really you missed this. I pressed the losers game show button on accident instead of the money sign, and that was an omen for the Memphis Tigers to lose. So it wasn't a fun week for me.
What happened to Memphis?
I don't like talking about it. Ryan Silverfield is just whatever. So I got 1 point for a total of 52 total points. General questions. You guys can go.
All right, Willie, you are in charge.
Okay, the general questions. The first one is pretty basic. Does Tennessee get it done in the swamp? Now, they are favored. We're going to throw the point spread out. Win or lose?
It's been more than 20 years. I believe it's 10 consecutive losses in the swamp for Tennessee at Florida.
Yes.
So yes or
Tennessee
no?
Tennessee win at Florida? I say yes, they will win.
Derek?
I say Tennessee wins.
I will also say yes.
Really? Okay, David, what do you got?
Can you say the question again? So sorry, I was busy.
It's just flat out. Does Tennessee win
no.
in the swamp?
No.
Okay.
Florida gets it done.
So David's taking the Gators. The rest of us are taking the Vols. All right, Willie, your second question.
The second one, a little more analytical. We finally saw Cam Ward take a step forward in the running game. He had 33 yards rushing last week. That is way more than he's had in any week as a football player on the pro level. So we're going to try to take baby steps. He only averages, after getting 33 last week, he still only averages 7.9 yards per game on the ground. Mm-hmm. He is not going to be confused with Steve McNair or Steve Young or pick your favorite running quarterback.
He's no Lamar Jackson.
Not even in the same stratosphere. So we're going to set the bar low. And we're going to say over or under. Are we going to have something? Is he starting to pick up that he does need to run a little bit? Over or under 16.5 yards rushing on Sunday?
Willie,
16.5.
Why don't you answer your own question first?
No.
Derek?
He's going to go under.
I would call him Lamar Waxon, not Jackson. Not that I'm talking about running. Because he don't run. It's the opposite of Lamar Jackson. 17.5, man, that's so low.
Like, one run could do that.
Exactly. But okay.
He did have a 20-yard run last week.
What did you pick? You picked,
Willie said under.
I said under.
I got to go over.
Okay.
I got to get some points.
I hope he gets
gotta
it.
Go.
I mean, he needs this tool.
I got to go.
He needs
you
this
said 17.5.
I'm rooting for Cam.
Well, one of my individual selections has to do with the rushing attack. I will say under on your Cam Ward question.
Okay.
I'm going over.
Okay.
All right, so
two for two.
Two unders, two overs.
All right. Let's get to our individual selections. I'm staring at mine, so I'll just go first. The Seahawks allow 93.5 rush yards per game, one of the best totals in the NFL. The Titans average 78.9 rush yards per game, the worst total in the NFL. The Titans will be held under 70 rushing yards total against the Seahawks on Sunday. Under 70 rushing yards. So if they hit 70, it has to be 69 or fewer. Nice. I'll just say it. 69 or fewer. So the Titans will be held under 70 rushing yards versus Seattle. And this is the moment we've all been waiting for. I'm going to do a little drum roll for myself here. Not only will Xavier Restrepo play on Sunday, he's making a catch.
Oh, wow. Ooh. So he has to play and make a catch?
He has to be active, and he has to make a catch.
Okay.
He will play and will make one catch.
That's all
I'm asking for. That's degree of difficulty.
I feel you.
The commissioner will put
it
into consideration.
It could be a catch for 0 yards.
As long, cat, but it's a cat. As long as it says on the box score, Xavier Receptions. Restrepo, reception one, that's all that matters. Okay. Yardage does not matter.
All right.
Minus 2 yards, no, no, that matters. Okay.
As long okay. as the ball is thrown to him and he secures it, even if he's tackled 10 yards behind the line of scrimmage, it's still a catch.
But the question is, if that happens, are we going to have a show on Monday, or is the world just going to end because of the Restrepo streps or whatever we
okay,
talk
about? Okay, what if he gets a 5-yard catch? But then there's a penalty, and they say we decline the catch, but we take the penalty to get a first down.
It has to count. It has the box score has to.
Yeah. I'll be checking ESPN.
I'm just going over every scenario here. That's all. Every scenario.
I mean, if he catches a pass and it's nullified by some sort of penalty, that doesn't count. Okay, it has to count as a catch.
All right,
just but he's gonna do it.
All right.
He's going to do
it. I hope so.
What else could go wrong? You know, what else? What could be worse? I don't know.
Yeah. All right,
Derek. Why don't you go next?
All right, I am. I'm gonna do this for you, Adam.
Okay.
Duke is a 39-point favorite, 39.5 against Niagara.
Coming up at 6 o'clock?
Yeah, they will cover. They will beat them by 39.5 points or more.
We'll see.
They will cover. And in basketball, even though you have it's a large cup, sometimes you don't get the 39 points because you take your players out at the end. They end up losing by 20 instead of 39. But I'm hoping that Duke doesn't do that. Or if they do it, then they still
beat them. We'll find out in just a matter of hours because that game tips off at 6 o'clock.
We'll have to see if it ends up being on the bad beats. It goes right down to the last thing. That could
absolutely
be good. We can do our, if
there's
that happens, we can have our own bad beats next Friday.
Yes.
And we'll reenact the last few seconds because it could be complete scrub garbage time. Like,
by the way,
Donick could be in the game. Whoever the Duke version of Donick is, crowds go wild.
Yeah,
let's
yeah,
see
yeah.
if Willie get Willie a shot. Come on, he hasn't had a shot. Get him in there.
Just to
Willie,
put this,
Willie,
just
shoot
to put
it,
this
shoot
on,
it.
Just to put this on everybody's radar in a couple of weeks. Duke goes to Michigan State.
Yes, we will.
We will talk about that game. That's going to be one of those. Universal question.
Exactly.
We'll have some sort of side bet on that game.
Oh, absolutely.
All right.
And then my second one is. The Titans will get two or more sacks in this game.
Okay.
The pass rush has been a little better.
It's been better.
Yeah.
Okay. Willie?
I'm going to go with the Coach Willie, and Coach Willie is staying away from the Vanderbilt Kentucky game.
No, Willie, don't.
I'm staying even keeled.
Coach Willie.
Got to hope for a good performance by the Doors. Mm-hmm. But my theory is when the glare gets a little up there, it's not easy to continue to play great football. The pressure continues to go up. So I'm going to take a couple of big dogs to cover tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Virginia Tech plus 17.5 at home against Miami.
Okay.
The Hokie Nation's excited. They got their new coach.
Yep.
James Franklin is going to be there. He'll probably be having a pep rally. He'll have some presence.
Headbanging to some Metallica.
Probably so.
He get the crowd going.
Yeah.
Something.
And maybe Miami's feeling the pressure a little bit, need to win to stay in it. Maybe it's a close game. 17.5 is a lot. I'm going to say Hokies keep it close. And the same will be true. D-Mates, you're going to like this one. Maryland plus 14.5 against Michigan, who did not deserve to win last week against Northwestern. Mm-hmm. They were lucky. They turned it over 5 times. People are talking about Michigan as a playoff team.
No.
If they beat Ohio State. Well, you got to beat Maryland first. I think they should. Maryland's terrible. But Maryland at home plus 14.5, I'll take the points. So I'm taking two big dogs to cover.
David?
I like those. I like those picks, Willie. So I'm going to do this because Coach Willie won't do this, but David, who has no stakes in this, he will do this. I think that the Vandy offense will total for 4 rushing touchdowns for 200 yards on Saturday.
So both, 4 rushing touchdowns and 200 rushing yards.
Exactly, yep.
Woo.
Okay.
I think that's a good
difficulty, yeah. Degree
okay.
of difficulty
degree
is
of
tough.
Difficulty. Not as much as Xavier Restrepo making the catch, but, you know, it is
what
it
is. Well, hey, I mean, he has to get active first, you know.
That should be worth 10 points if that happens, by the way. Just consider it.
The commissioner will put your concerns
fair
in
enough.
There.
Fair enough.
Now I will also. Oh man, do I really want to do this? Yes, I will. The Ravens will at least win by 2 touchdowns this Sunday
against whom?
It is. 1 second, I gotta remember who the Jets. It's against the Jets. So 2 touchdowns against the Jets.
Okay. Well, we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Derek will find out shortly because Duke plays Niagara in 5 minutes. So we'll see if Derek is right about one of his in just a little bit. But that'll do it for us this week. We will be live at Bridgestone Arena. It's been a minute since we've been at Bridgestone Arena. We will be live at Bridgestone Arena on Monday. The Predators host the two-time defending Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers. We will react to the Titans game against the Seattle Seahawks, Vanderbilt's game against Kentucky, Tennessee's game against Florida. We'll touch on it all Monday at 3 o'clock. We'll talk to you then.
And those of you on the road, watch out for Adam. He's going to be speeding home so he can catch the Duke-Niagara game. Just be drive safely. Watch out for Adam's car.
Absolutely.
I'm taping it.
And as I say always, be love, love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful weekend. I love you. The team loves you. You hear that music. Don't you forget about us, because we will never forget about you. We will be back same time on Monday, 3 p.m. Peace.